Case number 13-1229, United States Postal Service Petitioner versus Postal Regulatory Commission. Mr. Belt for the petitioner, Mr. Clare for the respondent.
Mr. Bell, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. A year ago, when this Court overturned the Commission's original remedy and remanded the case, it gave the Commission very specific instructions on remand. It was to either remedy the discrimination it found, or it was to explain why any discrimination it leaves in place is due or reasonable. Now, the discrimination the original order left in place was the unequal manual processing of DVDs mailed as first-class letters. In its new remedy on remand, that discrimination remains in place, and the Commission did not explain how it was due or reasonable. In fact, its remedy didn't address letters at all.
Gamefly doesn't think there's any discrimination that remains.
Well, Gamefly's happy with the remedy, and that's understandable, because they're actually in a better position than they were absent discrimination in the first place, because they get the benefit of...
Well, how is there any discrimination that remains if they're in a better position than they were? There's no discrimination against Gamefly.
Well, there's in a way, they've set up a situation where the Commission has set up a situation where there's potential claims of discrimination among others. For example, we have always charged roughly twice as much for flats as we have for letters. That is still true in the rate schedule, except now, when a DVD is being mailed, flats and letters must cost the same. And that's, to us, that sets up a very unreasonable rate structure. And I want to point to...
Netflix take advantage of this and stop using letters to mail their DVDs, but now they can use flats with a piece of cardboard?
That's, my understanding is they would be able to do that. Yeah, and we never argued that this was discriminatory against Netflix. Our claim is essentially that it's setting up, in essence, an irrational rate structure, where the Commission has long held that, yes, you may charge twice as much for flats as for letters due to different processing costs and different market characteristics, but when it comes to DVDs, they must be the same rate. And actually, Judge Kavanaugh...
What is the status of the competitive pricing Commission proceeding?
That's still pending before the Commission. I mean, that was in response to a... In response to the Commission's order that we equalize the prices of flats and letters, we, trying to reconcile that order with the statute which and the past history, which suggests those prices ought to be different in applying the factors and objectives under that apply to market-dominant products, it got us to thinking, well, if they're competitive products, then we don't have this inherent conflict, which in turn led us to believe, well, you know, are these competitive products? And that's what gave rise to that action, but that action's pending before the Commission.
When you say pending, has there been any movement at all? It began, it was opened when?
It was open in the early fall, late summer. There's been movement. I don't know the exact status, but it's pending. I mean, there's testimony and
how long do those types of proceedings usually take?
It varies. It can be... I can't speak. Maybe the Commission would be in a better position to answer that. It's been known to take very short periods of time. I know that the Commission decided the exigent rate case, for example, which was a complicated case, in 3 months, but they were required to by statute, I believe. And that, you know, the original Gamefly decision took more than over a year. So it's probably somewhere in between those two.
They moved quickly on the remand.
It moved relatively quickly, yeah. It was remanded about a year ago, and the final decision was in September.
That has the potential of mooting this case, doesn't it?
If the Commission were to accept our our competitive product filing, yes. It would moot the remedy that the commission that's on review here, yes. Judge Kavanaugh, back to your point about whether there's still discrimination, I think this actually points to one of the fundamental flaws in the commission's analysis. The commission's, it makes sort of two arguments for why it, instead of, I read the court's opinion as basically saying, you have two choices when it comes to first-class letters. Either treat everybody the same, roughly the same, or explain why you shouldn't have to. And the commission's makes sort of two arguments. They're saying we did remedy this.
Well, the case actually gave the commission more discretion than that because it said there are there may be a range of other possible remedies which would withstand appellate review.
Right. So. And indeed, the commission had before it no fewer than seven remedies that were consistent with this court's order, and the commission adopted none of them. I mean, I think the court is absolutely right that it said there may be a range of remedies that withstand review, but the order was the commission is required either to remedy all discrimination or explain why any discrimination it left in place was due or reasonable. This court's order said that twice. And so, yes, there may be a range of remedies that do that, but they must do that. And I think the commission is arguing two things. First, they're saying we did do that. And they're second, they're saying we couldn't do that. As to the we did do that, the commission gets there essentially by completely recharacterizing the nature of the discrimination. The nature of the discrimination, both before the commission and what was in review in this court the first time, was primarily, it was all about processing, or it was about the treatment of first-class mail letters. But the primary discrimination was processing discrimination, that we were affording manual processing to Netflix, and we wouldn't guarantee manual processing to Gamefly should it use letters.
Which in turn, though, costs Gamefly a lot of money because it costs them more to do it the other way, and that's what has been remedied, as I understand it, by the commission's new order.
More than remedied, in fact, because, again, the commission's in a better position than it would have been in had it just been given manual processing. Mm-hmm. That goes to whether, I mean, there's the discrimination, and then there are the effects, the consequences of discrimination. The discrimination was the difference in manual processing for letters. The consequence is Gamefly went and used something else. And it appears that the court's suggesting maybe that the commission was sort of free to have some kind of rough justice, that compensate the victim for discrimination or something like that. But that's not how the statute set up. And it's also not what the court's order said. The court's order in the statute focuses on the conduct, the discrimination, not on the effects and the consequences of the conduct.
But then the statute on the remedy just says take such action as the commission considers appropriate in order to achieve compliance.
The non-compliance was the process.
Yeah.
So achieving the compliance is fixing it. Mm-hmm. This is an important point, Your Honor, that when the commission suggests that it did remedy the discrimination, not just that it remedied the effects, I mean, the commission says they remedied the discrimination, but the only way they get there is by completely recharacterizing what the discrimination was. And this court was very clear in summarizing what the original...
How is the Postal Service hurt, I guess, by... You're talking as if you're Gamefly's lawyer, but Gamefly's very happy. So you're obviously not Gamefly's lawyer. How is the Postal Service hurt by allowing this remedy rather than the one you seem to be preferring?
Because we are now forced into a situation where we have to provide a more costly to us service,
right,
and we receive less revenue.
Okay, so that's fair. I understand that's the harm. I get the standing point. It's just the way you're casting your argument is there's discrimination that remains against Gamefly, and Gamefly doesn't think so.
I'm not sure that that's what Gamefly believes. I think Gamefly is happy with the remedy, and that's understandable. But the discrimination, what the commission did on remand, Your Honor.
Yeah. I don't understand your reply to Judge Kavanaugh, because I'm looking at which is not part of the... part of the joint appendix, but I'm looking at the statement supporting a justification in the competitive product proceeding, and what you're advocating there is this new product will have an equalized rate of 46 cents for letter and flat-shaped return pieces in accordance with Order 1763, which is what we're looking at now. So in other words, you're You're simultaneously arguing in this court that the commission's remedy is improper because it's going to cost you more, and then, but you're arguing before the commission in another proceeding to equalize the rates, which is exactly what the commission did. I don't understand it.
Our argument in the competitive product case is the only way, keep in mind that the only way, that comes up in the context where we were ordered to equalize the rates. So we are trying to comply with that order while simultaneously challenging it in court. We believed, and still believe, in what gave rise to the competitive product filing was the only way to both comply with the order and comply with the statute was to essentially free ourselves of the factors and objectives that apply to market-dominant products. And, for example, on the competitive side, we can define a DVD that's either flat-shaped or letter-shaped as a single product. On the market-dominant side, we can't, because the commission decides what the products are, and flats and letters are separate products. Also, we're not subject to the various factors and objectives on the market-dominant side that we are on the competitive side. I think I might have said that backwards. But that in turn, so what we were trying to do was both comply with the commission's order and comply with what we believed were the statutory objectives. Our view was the only way to really do that was to be free of the statutory objectives that apply to market-dominant products.
Another way to do it is issue an order prohibiting manual handling of Netflix mailers.
That was one of the options that the commission considered and rejected. The commission had many options before it that would have addressed the discrimination that this court ordered it to correct. I think going back to this, what was the discrimination? There was no question. Right through the time that this case was before this court, what the discrimination that had been left in place was. As this court properly characterized it, it is the terms of service discrimination, the processing manual, providing manual letter processing to Netflix but not to Gamefly. That was the discrimination. On remand, suddenly the commission had a very different conception of what this court decided the discrimination was. On page JA-272, in the order on remand, the commission said the residual discrimination identified by this court, consisted of the continuing differences in the terms of service offered to DVD mailers of letter-shaped and flat-shaped mail. That was not this case, but that is the premise from which the commission can argue that we corrected the discrimination. They're saying the discrimination that this court found, first of all, this court doesn't make findings, but they're saying the discrimination that this court found had something to do with discriminatory treatment between letters mailers and flats mailers. That wasn't this case. This case is if two people use the same product, in this case letters, they should be given the same treatment. That's what this court, that's sort of the underpinning of this court's opinion. The only way the commission could say we remedied the discrimination was to completely recharacterize what the discrimination was without notice, without findings. I mean, it just said the discrimination that this court, I mean, they're not even making a finding. They're saying they were ordered by this court to treat two different products the same.
But the court said in that paragraph that I mentioned before that you can either treat everyone exactly the same, but there may be other remedies if there's differential treatment, there's a remedy to alleviate the cost that's associated with that. It didn't use the word cost. But when it said other possible remedies and talks about Gamefly's proposed remedies, the commission will surely consider those remedies, and there may be a range of other possible remedies. It seems like it was leaving the door open for the commission to do a lot of different things.
It's always dangerous to be in a position where I'm interpreting to the court what I believe the court said.
That's okay.
But I read the court's opinion, mm-hmm. and I think it's very clear that, yes, there are a range of remedies that it should consider, but that those remedies, whatever they are, must either remedy all discrimination, and that, again, the discrimination was treating people using the same product differently.
The court could have said treat Netflix the same as Gamefly and how they're actually handled.
It could have said that, and in fact...
And it didn't say that.
It didn't say that because it said either do that or explain why you shouldn't have to. Mm-hmm. The commission did neither of those two things. Mm-hmm. And as to the point that there are a range of remedies, of course there were. In fact, there were many, many remedies proposed to the commission on remand that would have been in accordance with this court's order, and the commission rejected all of them in favor of a remedy that Gamefly hadn't even proposed the first time that we were before this court. I mean, this equalized rate remedy was not one of the two remedies the Gamefly argues that this court was required to adopt. It made two arguments. It said, that it either gets equal treatment, it had a more, it was more particular than that, or it gets what's called equal contribution. The idea is that flats, the price of flats can exceed the price of letters only to the extent that the cost to us of processing flats exceeds the processing letters. Those were the two remedies that were presented to this court, and what Gamefly at the time argued, as a matter of law, the commission had to adopt one of them. The court then affirmatively did not reach that argument. I mean, that's in this court. We do not address Gamefly's argument.
The second one they proposed is a close relative to what's ultimately adopted.
It was I would argue, a distant relative to what was adopted because at least those recognize that different products get priced differently. Here we're saying different products somehow get priced the same, which is not only sort of illogical on its face, it flies in the face of years of commission practice of proving different prices for these products. I mean, what changed? They say what changed is the court's opinion changed everything by saying we must charge the same price for flats and letters. They're not exercising discretion. They're saying the court deprived it of discretion on that count, on that front. They're saying the court ordered us to equalize the price. I see I'm over my time. I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal unless the court has further questions now.
We'll give you a couple minutes to reply.
Thank you.
Mr. Clare.
Thank you, Your Honor, and good morning. May it please the court, I'm Jeffrey Clare. I'm Justice Department Counsel for the Commission. Your Honor, so I'd like to turn first to a question on which I, too, feel on somewhat thin ice what the court meant by its mandate in the original opinion. Judge Kavanaugh, we read the opinion the same way your comments indicate, is affording the Commission broad latitude to consider a range of remedies, including to adhere to its original remedy, which did not entail changes in manual processing and services, if it could provide adequate explanation. When the case returned to the Commission on remand, and the Commission considered arguments from the parties as to what kinds of remedies it could consider, here's what the Postal Service said in its own submission of page 182. In its opinion vacating the Commission's original order and remanding the case for reconsideration of the remedy, the court gave the Commission the option of providing additional support for its original remedy. I think what you've heard today, this morning, is contradicted by the Postal Service's own representations before the Commission. Even apart from the limitations of the mandate, the Postal Service is making arguments to the effect that, well, the statutory provisions governing the Commission's exercise of remedial discretion require it to respond to a finding of discrimination in the way services are provided with a remedy that adjusts the services rather than, as the Commission did below, permitting alternative remedies that provide a comparable measure of protection for a user of the mail at a comparable price. We'd submit that the limitations that the Postal Service is arguing on the Commission's remedial discretion simply are not supported by the statute. This is a statute that is worded in very broad terms and gives the Commission a very broad authority to impose such remedies for discrimination as it considers appropriate.
Two questions. One, since you brought this, you're talking about 3622?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, B and C. Number one, was the Commission required, as I understand the services argument, was the Commission required to conform whatever remedy it devised with the broad objectives of those two subsections, B and C? That's the first question. Second question is, if the Commission was required to do that, where in the Commission's opinion on remand is there any indication that it did so?
I believe what Your Honor is referring to is the provisions of Section 3622, which describe the objectives
right.
and factors
right.
that the Commission must consider in fashioning a
system
for market-dominant products. And what the Commission did in the first proceeding was it concluded that although there was discrimination, it would only order a partial kind of rate-based relief because those other factors, including the need to give the Postal Service flexibility in the way of prices, including the provisions requiring the Commission to have some assurance that products are meeting their attributable costs and so forth, that all those factors, the factors Your Honor has referred to and the factors that the Postal Service relies on its brief, justified a more limited remedy. And in the first case, the court rejected consideration.
Yeah, I'm not asking about the first case. I'm asking, yes, on remand, as I read your brief, you've almost conceded this point. I think it's page 40 of your brief, that the commission is required to go through those, consider those factors in 3622 B and C. And my question is, if that's correct, if it's not correct, I'd like to know why. But if that is correct, where in the commission's decision on remand did it do that?
Well, Your Honor, the commission, if this case were before the court on a clean slate, certainly any remedy fashioned by the commission would have to take those factors into account. What the commission concluded on remand is that it had taken those factors into account, and it read the court's mandate in Gamefly 1 is essentially directing it to give precedence and sole priority to remedying discrimination, and that none of those factors in 3622 could justify any kind of residual discrimination.
The closest I could find, and it's rather ambiguous, is on page JA-299 in that last paragraph. Is that what you're referring to? Doesn't even cite 3622.
Well, it does not cite it, Your Honor is certainly correct. It does say that it is true as a general matter that the Postal Service is correct in stating that rates, classifications, and operational policy must be consistent with applicable laws and regulations. I believe that those objectives and factors in Section 3622 are what the commission is referring to there, notwithstanding the absence of the exception.
And then it says, however, that 3662, remedying discrimination, sort of trumps that? Is that the point there?
I don't know if trumps is quite the right word, Your Honor. I think the objectives and factors in 3622 are not, they don't always point in the same direction. They are sometimes necessity of remedying discrimination can be at odds with consideration of some of those factors, and what the remedial authority vested in the commission gives the commission authority to do is to balance those factors and to decide in particular cases and particular circumstances. Well, in some cases, these factors warrant a more limited remedy that leaves residual discrimination in place. In other circumstances, those factors do not support leaving residual discrimination in place. In this case, on remand from the court, with the commission having relied on these factors in the first proceeding and the court rejecting them as a sufficient basis for allowing residual discrimination, the commission understood its mandate to be end discrimination first and foremost, notwithstanding what those other factors might have dictated.
But it does, after it says, must either remedy all discrimination or explain why any residual discrimination is due or reasonable under 403.
Right.
So 403 is what?
403 is the prohibition of unreasonable or undue discrimination and with respect to users.
All right, and how does that, if it does at all, how do we interpret that with respect to 3622, 403?
Well, again,
I mean, it doesn't trump it. I may be asking what Judge Randolph's already asked, but this court said get rid of this discrimination, but if there is residual discrimination, because maybe you have to consider 3622 factors, that didn't say that, but if there is, explain why that discrimination is due and reasonable.
Well, that's certainly a fair characterization of the court's remand order, Your Honor. We respond in several ways. First, the question as to whether there is continuing discrimination is a question of whether there is undue or unreasonable discrimination. And the commission was well within its authority in concluding that notwithstanding differences in the way mail is processed, if there is an alternative remedy that affords comparable protection for DVD mail at the same price, any kind of residual differences in treatment as to how mail is processed does not rise to unreasonable or undue discrimination. The commission could also, and I think really blended these two points together, it could also conclude that even if the differences in treatment rose to unreasonable discrimination, its remedial authority only requires that the commission take such measures as it deems appropriate to remedy that discrimination. And where the commission finds, one, that there's an alternative means of mail that provides comparable protection for the same price, and two, where adjusting manual processing and trying to dictate essentially identical manual processing for all comers would be difficult to enforce and unreasonably burdensome on both the commission and the postal service, that all those factors together would warrant a kind of remedy that the commission is imposing.
I'd like to come back to 3622. The reason I asked the first question is that on the face of it, I don't know why it applies at all. Which is one of the reasons I found page 40 of your brief a little puzzling, because the statute is talking about setting up a system for regulating rates and classes. It's not talking about setting an individual rate. And the system, I take it, is the rules and regulations of the commission.
Yes, including the authority to create special niche classifications and so forth for special.
So that's when you have a particular issue, a narrow issue like we have here, you're not talking about a system of regulating. You're talking about a particular rate or practice that would solve discrimination. So I'm puzzled about why you think, as I thought you said, that 3622 even applies. And I know the service argues it does.
Well, Your Honor, I think the commission's understanding is that the statute does continue to apply, and that where it is making or considering changes in the rate structure for particular categories of mail, that is something that affects the system of rates, and that these 3622 factors, therefore, do apply to it. And again, the commission did consider these factors the first time I quoted in this brief, the briefing we gave to the court in the last proceeding, where we cited these same factors as just the need for pricing flexibility, the need to assure that products recover their attributable costs. We cited all those factors as the basis for the original remedy, and the court found that those factors were not sufficient to justify the remedy. So the commission understood its mandate is end discrimination, and depressing is to that requirement rather than the objectives and factors.
And then on the possible remedy of operational equality, if I'm using the phrase correctly,
sure.
I took it that the commission found that that really wouldn't achieve equality in practice because there could be no guarantee of proper enforcement of that.
Absolutely, Your Honor. The Postal Service had advised the commission that it would be, that there were, because of local processing variations, differences in mail volumes and character of mail and local personnel and local automated processing equipment and so forth, that the Postal Service itself advised the commission that would be extremely difficult to ensure that kind of equality of treatment. The Postal Service's own submission advocated manual processing to the extent practicable or substantially to the same degree. And it was the commission's determination that, particularly in light of the history of discrimination by the Postal Service, that that was not sufficient in this case, that that would not remedy discrimination, that would not satisfy the court's mandate. And that's the kind of determination that the statute gives the commission broad authority and discretion.
This new rate has been in effect since September?
It took effect, I believe, on the last day of the last fiscal year. So I think, yes, I believe Your Honor's correct.
Has Netflix switched to using flats instead of the letters?
I don't know the answer to that question, but in reference to Your Honor's earlier question to my colleague, no one has complained about none of the mailers have complained about this remedy. Netflix certainly could have intervened in the proceeding to complain about the remedy.
That was a good remedy for Netflix, because they get a service that would otherwise cost, a dollar
Your Honor, frankly, I think the Commission understands that the Postal Service is engaged, at least in part, in a business here. It has a large customer in Netflix that it wants to satisfy. It could have simply said manual processing for no one, which would not have helped Gamefly. It would not have given Gamefly the kind of protection from DVD breakage that Gamefly wanted. And it could have driven Netflix, a large and important customer, to different means of delivering its DVDs. And as the technology advances, those options become increasingly doable for a company like Netflix.
Well, as technology advances, they're not going to need DVDs.
that could be well be the case. Your Honor, unless the Court has any further questions.
All right. Thank you. Does Mr. Belt have any time? Why don't you take a couple minutes?
Just 2 points. The Court's mandate was to remedy discrimination, and the Commission seems to still believe that the discrimination that needed to be remedied was the price difference between letters and flats. That just wasn't the case. That wasn't the question before the Court. The question before the Court, before the Commission originally, dealt with different processing of letters. So while it is true that this Court rejected the Commission's application of the factors to say that's why flats and letters should be priced separately, they didn't reject them because it wasn't a good enough remedy. They rejected it because that's irrelevant, because we're talking about a situation where two customers want to use letters. This isn't about the relative price of flats and letters. This case was always about letters. And so the suggestion that this Court somehow foreclosed the Commission from doing anything other than equalizing the price of flats and letters is just an incorrect interpretation of this Court's opinion. As for the idea that I think my opponent said that the Postal Service could have just said we won't do manual processing for anybody. We couldn't have said that because that was one of the choices before the Commission to order, and the Commission refused to order it. That was one of the many choices. It wasn't the one we advanced, granted, for the reasons that counsel said, that wouldn't have helped our customers at all. But the point was that we couldn't just unilaterally say on remand that we're going to treat them the same. I mean, that was one of the proposals. Our substantial parity proposal was a recognition of the fact that literal equality day to day at every single processing facility in the country probably isn't achievable. But the idea that there would be sort of equality in general is achievable.
Why is it not achievable day to day?
Just because there are so many processing facilities. I mean, I just think it's a practical matter that
the local facilities know to look out for Netflix.
Well, there are a lot more of them, and right now they, of course, have bright red envelopes. They can be seen. Gameflies can't. But Gameflies said they would absolutely convert to seeable products. I think it was more just a recognition that on any given day at any given facility, I mean, we have some facilities that can't do any manual process. Okay, and so it was more just a recognition that literal equality at every facility every day is probably too high a burden. I mean, that's almost, as a practical matter, not achievable, which is why we were proposing substantial parity. They say substantial parity is not good enough. You need literal equality, and then they turn around and say, but of course, we agree you can't achieve literal equality. Well, if we can't achieve it, then how could it be unduly discriminatory to not achieve it? And that's sort of our argument. But we were proposing equal, as we conceived it, equal treatment in a processing of letters, which is what this case was about. This case was never about the relative prices of flats and letters. That's not what the Court rejected. It's not what the Court ordered. So for that reason, we argued that the Court should remand with instructions to do what it didn't do the first time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.